بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم لك الحمد على نعمك العظيمة وآلائك الجسيمة، ونصلي ونسلم على سيدنا ونبينا محمد النبي الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My dear brothers and sisters, it's my pleasure to welcome you to another episode in our series of discourse on the five grand legal maxims in Islam, Al-Qawaid Al-Khams Al-Kubra. And today, in today's session and the next one, inshallah, we will discuss the fifth most important legal maxim in Islam, namely Al-Aada Muhakkama. Custom can be the arbitrator. Custom is a decisive. It can be a judge. Of course, in matters that are not regulated by text. Today, we will discuss the significance, why this qaida is important, and the meaning and definition, and the sources from the Quran and Hadith, and the examples from the sources to show the importance of this qaida, inshallah. The qaida, this qaida al-aada muhakkama, that custom is the judge, custom is the decisive arbiter, means that customary practices of people, whether actions or statements, can be a deciding factor in the absence of specific text. Of course, in Islam, we cannot bypass the clear text. If the text is clear and decisive, we must abide by it. So this rule applies to actions and statements, customary practices of people, and it can be taken as a judge, as decisive in determining and making a ruling on matters which is not covered by text, or even in case of a general text. If there is a general text, then custom or practice can be used to restrict its application, qualify its application, or limit its application. What this shows is the dynamic nature of Sharia, that Sharia is not something stagnant. It can be adapted to changing circumstances to meet the challenges and issues we face in real practical life. There are two words we need to understand. To understand this qaida, this legal maxim, Al-Qaida, one of the greatest five great legal maxims. Two words are important. One is urf, the other is aada. Sometimes some scholars use it in the same sense, but many scholars differ in the precise definitions. When they use urf, according to them, urf refers to practice of a large group of people, majority. For instance, whereas aada refers to the practices of a specific group or community or individual. Aada is defined as recurring thing without any rational association. Recurring practices acceptable to people of sound nature. Urf is defined as the verbal or non-verbal habitual practices of the majority of people within a community. Of course, all of this will be discussed in detail in the next session, inshallah. The word urf is tied to the Quranic concept of ma'ruf, which is one of the cardinal principles or imperatives of the Quran. That which is considered as commonly good can be also used, good custom, good practice. The Quran enjoins the Muslims to command ma'ruf that which is good and forbid that which is munkar or evil. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ الْخَيْرُ وَيَمْرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. This is an imperative. Allah also orders his messenger in another place in Surah 7, verse 199, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأُمْرُ بِالْعُرْفِ وَعَارِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Take to pardoning, meaning excuse people and pardon them for their slip-ups, for their mistakes. Enjoying what is fair and right, and turn away from the ignorant. It's clear from the above that it is a revelation and not reason that determines what is good and bad. It's not aqliyan, they are not aqliyan, they are shara'i, it is the shara. It's the lawgiver, it's the revelation that would tell us what is good for us and what is bad for us. So we are not talking about customs which is not approved in Sharia. As such, urf is acceptable only when it does not contravene or contradict any of the principles of the Sharia. Now the sources where the scholars have their evidence in the sources to accept to adopt this qaida as one of the principles or rules for interpreting or applying or bringing out new rulings for the changing circumstances. The following examples are taken by scholars as evidence that custom and uruf and ada are acceptable sources of the Sharia, secondary sources of the Sharia. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the rights of women, وَلَهُنَّ مِثُلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And women have rights similar to their obligations according to what is fair. The verse leaves it to the fair standard of decency in the community. So it is the fairness are determined by the community. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يؤخذكم الله في باللغو في أيمانكم ولكن يؤخذكم بما عقدتم الأيمان فكفارته إطعام عشرة مساكين من أوسط ما تطعمون أهليكم أو كسوته. God will not take you to task for that which is frivolous in your oath, but he will take you to task for the oaths you have pledged in earnest. The expiation thereof is the feeding of 10 indigent people, poor people, with the equivalent of that which you feed your own family or clothing them. The verse leaves the measure of the standard of living and practice in each community to the standard. The statements and the standards and practices in such matters differ from culture to culture and country to country. They also vary according to the standard of living of individuals, the middle class family, the upper class family, and the standard, the family below that. So it varies from individuals, families, and communities. Another example from the tradition of the Prophet is Hind, the wife of Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, came to the Prophet complaining about her husband that Abu Sufyan is a bakhil, is a stingy person. He does not provide for the family sufficiently enough to support them. So she is forced to take from his wealth without his knowledge. That the Prophet said, she wanted to ask the Prophet whether it is allowed for her to do so. The Prophet replied, yes, take from his wealth in fair measure, as much as it is sufficient to support you and your children. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left it to Hind to decide how much she can take based on their living standard that is acceptable in the community at the time. In yet another instance you know, this is a case where Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu wanted to make an endowment, whatever wealth he acquired in Khaybar, he wanted to set up an endowment, a waqf. And the Prophet said to him, you know, when you do that, the manager of the trust, the waqf, is allowed to support himself from this, the income, the yield, according to fair standard and measure. So here again, it's clear that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed for the custom and the urf to rule, to decide what is fair. Scholars also cite another tradition from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. This is not a direct statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but a statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And it is understood that when the Sahaba, like Abu Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, a prominent companion, makes a statement like that, he wouldn't base it on his own opinion. So he has precedence for that. He has inferred it from the practice or the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The statement is very important. He says, as reported by Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah, فَمَا رَأَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ حَسَنًا فَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ حَسَنًا. Whatever Muslims consider as good, it is good in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Mas'ud was referring to the practice of the companions of the Prophet, for instance, who chose Abu Bakr as the first caliph. So he meant to teach us that whenever pious believers, here a Muhajir and an Ansar, pious believers like them agree on a course of action, it can be considered as good. For the entire Muslim community cannot concur on an evil course of action. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La tazalu ta'ifatun min ummati lahirina ala al-haq, la yadurruhum man khadalahum." There will be a group of my community always adhering firmly to the truth. There will not be the opposition of the people, those who want to oppose them will not be, they will not be deterred by that. So brothers and sisters, here is the first of the episode. We have already discussed the meaning of this and the sources and some of the examples from the Quran and the Sunnah. In the next episode, inshallah, we will apply some of the qualifications. Applications, point out other applications, and also the qualifications and some of the other subsidiary rules. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all to benefit from the sound Islamic knowledge so that we enhance our faith and practice of Islam. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullahi wa lakum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.